to do everything to bring back Omer and all the other hostages, and we really do everything, even if we will need to go to the moon and put a huge sign, bring them home.
It's been months since Hamas brutally captured Israeli hostages, and negotiations are still on to secure their release. What more can be done to bring these hostages back? And what are the experiences of the families having loved ones captured so brutally by Hamas? Hi, and welcome to this episode of Inside the Epicenter with Joel Rosenberg, a podcast of the Joshua Fund, a ministry dedicated to blessing Israel and her neighbors in the name of Jesus. I'm Carl Muller, Executive Director of the Joshua Fund, and today we present an interview with families impacted by Hamas's attacks as they share their personal stories.
We saw my brother video when Hamas filmed him while telling him that his family was killed, picturing him grieving and mourning and asking for the Israeli government to bring them back. And this is the last evidence I have from my brother, which left us really concerned, because I don't know how can anyone in a normal situation cope with this kind of information, and he has to cope after 50 days of being hostage and still hostage away from us, from his family, not knowing if it's true.
But a very special program tonight as we focus on the hostages. 136 Israeli and foreign hostages still held in those tunnels underneath the Gaza Strip by the Hamas monsters. I have a very special opportunity because this week I had the opportunity, invited by the Prime Minister's office, the government press office, to sit down and do a special event interviewing some of these Israeli families whose families were taken hostage on October 7th and interview them before the foreign media. It's such an important story, and the Israeli government is trying to make sure that the hostage story isn't lost. There's so much attack against Israel. You've got the South African government condemning Israel before the World Court of Genocide. You've got the United Nations constantly condemning us. The media onslaught against Israel goes on, and it's horrible. And so the danger is the personal story of the tragedy and the humanitarian story that these 136 hostages are still held. They're still held. And yes, it's true that this week there are negotiations going on in Paris between the United States, Israel, and the Qataris and the Egyptians, trying to figure out a formula by which Hamas might release some or possibly even all of the hostages. We are praying for that, but Israel's not going to surrender. The Hamas demand has been, hey, we'll release all the hostages as long as Israel leaves Gaza and lets us go back into power. That's not going to happen. But tonight I have an opportunity to interview several of these hostage families. Their stories are moving. They are powerful. You need to hear them. One of the families, I just want to let you know, you're going to hear from a father whose wife and two daughters were taken hostage on the 7th. Several other family members murdered. But by God's grace and a huge miracle answer to prayer, the wife and daughters were released. So we're going to hear from him tonight. We're also going to talk to the most famous family with their the Bevis family, the aunt of two of the youngest hostages that are being held. One of them, Kefir Bevis, just turned 1 year old in those terror tunnels in Gaza. And so their story is extraordinary. Ofri Bevis, your family may be the most famous of, but there are many. But one of the things I think is important is that each of these families, every story needs to be told. Every story needs to be known. But yours is probably the most famous or among them because you're the aunt of two of the youngest hostages and the youngest in Kefir, these two beautiful redheaded children. Would you talk about your sister, your brother-in-law, these kids? What have you gone through? And I just want to give you an open-ended question there.
Just to be correct, I'm Yelden's sister.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry. Thank you.
Shiri's sister-in-law.
Sorry.
Fiona Yel's aunt. My family, unfortunately, has become maybe the most famous hostage from October 7th. Shiri's horrible picture with being taken with the boys was one of the first picture published, I think. It was published as a picture and maybe 2 hours later a video. when it was published about 2 hours after my brother sent me the last text, I was texting him while he was in the safe room. He told me they were inside with the kids. They were trying to keep them quiet, which was a hard thing to do because it was 4 years old and a baby. He told me he can hear gunshots and screaming in Arabic, and he was terrified. He was ready with his gun. We later learned from hostage who was released that they spent time with him, that at some point he said goodbye to Shiri and the boys. He left them in the safe room and he went outside to try and fight the terrorist, eventually going with them, thinking this way he will save his family. Mm-hmm. He couldn't believe, I think, like neither of us, that they will kidnap a baby and a 4 years old. For 3 days, we didn't know what happened to my brother. And on the 10th of October, which was his birthday, a picture of him popped in an Arab news site, and we saw that he was taken injured in his head. Up till now, we know nothing about Shiri and the boys, apart from what Hamas published of them being killed from an Israeli bombing. It was published almost, I think, two months ago now, at the last day of the deal. Yeah. And up till now, we don't know anything about their faith. None of the hostages being released has seen them at no point. And Yarden, we know he's been held in some kind of cage underground in a tunnel, complete darkness for days, just him and one more hostage. We know he suffered a lot because he was really worried about his family. Mm-hmm. He didn't know they were kidnapped. Mm-hmm. And we are talking about media, and I think what is unfortunately unique about this situation is that we as family discover so far was through media. Mm-hmm. It's always one step before the intelligence can even mm-hmm. come and tell us. Mm-hmm. So through the telegram, we saw my brother video when Hamas filmed him while telling him that his family was killed, picturing him grieving and mourning and asking for the Israeli government to bring them back. And this is the last evidence I have from my brother, which left us really concerned, because how can anyone in a normal situation cope with this kind of information? And he has to cope after 50 days of being hostage and still hostage, away from us, from his family, not knowing if it's true. Mm-hmm. I think we all share the same feeling that the most difficult is just not knowing. Yeah. Not knowing where they are, not knowing their condition, not knowing where they're coming back, not knowing how can we help, what mm-hmm. can we do. We've been traveling all over the world, talking, delegations and media, and just trying to be their voice.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Our verse of the day today is found in Psalms 20, verse 1. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. and our prayer requests today are, number one, to pray that the hostages held by Hamas would be protected and brought home soon and safely. And second, pray that all negotiations with Hamas will yield positive results
and that all of the hostages will be released. The evangelical Christian delegation, Governor Huckabee and the others. Would you talk about Omer? And he's not just a hostage. He's got a unique set of medical challenges that make this significantly worse than even everybody else, as bad as it all is, right? So can you talk a little bit about him, who he is, but also his medical conditions?
Yes, I will speak about Omer. But first, I want to ask the audience, do you know where is your son now? Do you know where is your daughter now? Do you know if they are eating? Do you know if it's cold? I didn't speak, me or my wife or my family, with Omer more than 150 days. So I guess you can imagine what is the feeling of parents that he didn't speak with his son more than 150 days. And not only speaking, not knowing, like in the dark. Omer is a young boy. He just went to the most wrong festival. And he just started his life. You know, tons of friends.
21, right?
21. Just starting his life, as I say. Young party guy, tons of friends, working as a waiter in a restaurant and thinking about the next party and the next good time with his friends. And he went, as I say, to the most wrong festival. Omer was on the Nova Festival, and from 6:30 until 8:30, we've been in contact with him. We spoke with him many times. He was running away. He tried to find a shelter. He tried to find a place where to hide. From time to time, for a call, another call, he sounded much more panic, much more hysteric.
He was able to reach a car, though, with a friend, right?
He came with friends, but some of the friends just, I mean, the split.
Yeah.
And one of the phone calls, he told us that he has another two friends. They found a car of a friend that he was already out of the area. Mm. And he was calling them and he told them that he's coming to take them. Mm. And he came to take them. And we asked Omer to send us a live location. And we saw the point on the screen of the phone. And we saw the beginning that the point is not really moving. And then suddenly we saw the point going very fast toward to the border of Gaza. And I tried to call him to tell him, you are on the wrong way. I didn't realize that this is the situation. And I called him and I called him, but he never answered. And the next thing it was that the point was behind the border. And I guess, as I say before, you don't know nothing about your kid. So that's, in that moment, it's like I felt someone throw on my face a huge, thick black curtain. And you say, wow, what am I going to do? And Omer is, he was there with his friend. I will skip about details, but I will tell that he was with Itai 52 days. And we know from Itai all kind of stories. Omer is suffering from asthma, so he didn't have his inhaler. So it was really tough for him to breathe. And also, they need to be in silence, so they were whispering all the time. So I can imagine how difficult it was for him just not to breathe, and also not, he cannot even cough, so he needed to whisper. And Omer was also celiac. So he cannot eat bread and what they give them over there, pita, labane, and bread. So he's eating what he's eating, his stomach itself. So we don't know nothing anymore after these 52 days that they've been together, and it's completely unknown.
Thank you for sharing. When we met with you, and Shelley was sharing about how she goes into his room every day just to pray, God, please, we need a miracle.
Yes, we left the light and the fan in his room, and the room is still like he left it. Mm-hmm. And Shelley keeps telling, when he will come, he will fix his room. So we are waiting for him to fix the room.
Okay.
And we miss him so much. Mm-hmm. And Ezrat Hashem, he will come back.
Yoni, I want to begin with you, Yoni Asher, because you're unique in this particular panel in that you suffered the horrors of October 7th with your family, but your family has been released. Would you just take a few minutes and share what happened for your family on that day, and how are they doing? What are they saying now that they're out?
Like you said, my wife and two young daughters, Raz and Aviv, which are only 5 and 3 years old, from this January, were taken hostage on October 7th. And on November 24, they got back on the first deal at the first time. And the fact that I am sitting here with parents and brothers of people that are still there, very difficult to me. On October 7th, my wife and two daughters were visiting their grandmother in Kibbutz Nir Oz. It was 5 p.m. Hamas released a video using TikTok. That video got to me. And on that video, I witnessed my wife, my older daughter, Raz, my young daughter, Aviv, getting kidnapped.
They were released. What can you tell us about what they're telling you, what they experienced, how they're doing?
It's each day for us, it's October 7th. Mm-hmm. For each one of us, me and my wife, it's different, but we are remembering all the time. And I have flashbacks all the time from October 7th, from the 49 days, and my wife as well. So the coping is not simple. But like I said, as long as there are still people there, this is a rich man's problem.
I just want to give you all the final word.
Well,
just
I will say
what would
that,
you like to say?
It's become the mission of our life, the mission of all my family, in order to do everything to bring back Omer and all the other hostages. And we really do everything, even if we will need to go to the moon and put a huge sign, bring them home.
I just want to say that our fight as families is unfortunately still not done. And our fight, the fight of the Israeli government is against Hamas is not done. And we need the local media and the international media to keep the subject alive, to keep it on the news, to keep advocating for Israel, for her right to fight, and for the urgency of bringing the hostages back. I think it's part of the pressure we're trying to put on all the governments and on Hamas, and everybody is involved in the negotiation to end this situation. Because like Yoni said, it's clearly that the hostages doesn't have any time to spare. They can die every minute. Mm-hmm. So it's important that we'll have the media with us. Mm-hmm. In our battle, it's a crucial part of our battle.
Well, thank you for listening to this episode about the personal stories of the families of hostages held by Hamas. Have you found this podcast very valuable? Please get in touch with us. Let us know who you are. Are you searching for Jesus? You can find him here. Do you want to talk about something else on this show? And do you have a question you want Joel to answer? Send any comments you may have to podcast@joshuafund.net. Your feedback is incredibly valuable as we develop this podcast. And as always, you can check out our show notes for anything you heard on this episode that you'd like more information on. So for Joel Rosenberg and the Joshua Fund Ministry team, I'm Carl Muller. Thanks for listening to this episode of Inside the Epicenter with Joel Rosenberg.
A powerful prayer life does not require hiking a mountain to be able to hear from God. God can meet us right in the middle of our busy lives to help, guide, and speak to us through prayer. I'm Christina Patterson, host of the Teach Us to Pray podcast, providing practical teaching and encouragement on how you can make prayer a natural and consistent part of your everyday life. I promise it won't require hiking a mountain, but you just might develop the faith to move one. Listen and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.